At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The following podcast contains explicit language.
I don't think I've ever met him. I never met him. I don't think I've ever met him.
You would know it if you did.
I think
you?
So. Yeah, I think so.
Three times he asked at one point, if we have them, why can't we use them?
I've had a flawless campaign. You'll be writing books about this campaign.
Put this in the long, long list of things that are very unusual in the 2016 race.
Hello and welcome to Trumpcast, the show about the man who says he will sue all of his accusers after the election, Donald Trump. I'm Jacob Weisberg. Part of the original idea of this show was to talk to some Trump supporters to try to understand what they thought. One I spoke to back in June was Jan Jennings, an electrical engineer who lives in Chattanooga, who had written me to explain why he thought you could support Trump without being a racist or a bigot. We had a really interesting conversation. It focused on the government's response to the financial crisis in 2009 and Jan's view of Trump as someone who was good at telling banks to go screw themselves. I got another message from Jan a couple of weeks ago, just after that grab him by the pussy video surfaced. Here's what it said. Jacob, I hope all is well. Okay, you win. I don't think I can vote for Trump anymore. And I'll admit your reporting started the process, but this new video pushed me over the edge. I still strongly dislike Hillary, and Gary Johnson does not impress me. I don't know what to do. Have a good weekend. Jan. Jan's a rare species, a Trump supporter who was taking in information he disagreed with and then actually changed his mind. So, of course, I asked him to come on the show again to talk to me about it. I'll be back with that conversation right after we do the tweets.
The results are in on the final debate, and it is almost unanimous. I won. Thank you. These are very exciting times. We cannot take 4 more years of Barack Obama, and that's what you'll get if you vote for Hillary. Hashtag Big League Truth. The media refuses to talk about the 3 new national polls that have me in first place. Biggest crowds ever. Watch what happens. Well, Iran has done it again. Taken 2 of our people, asking for a fortune for their release. This doesn't happen if I'm president. The attack on Mosul is turning out to be a total disaster. We gave them months of notice. U.S. is looking so dumb. Vote Trump and win again. Wow. Just came out on secret tape that crooked Hillary wants to take in as many Syrians as possible. We cannot let this happen. ISIS.
We
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of four episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
I'm happy to welcome back to the show Jan Jennings. I had him on the show back in May when he was a Trump supporter. He wrote me saying that he had a perspective that he didn't think he'd heard on the show and wanted to explain why he was supporting Trump, but didn't feel that a lot of the characterizations about the views of Trump supporters applied to him. He's a mechanical engineer in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I got another message from him saying that his views had changed a little bit. I suggested he come back on and tell us about it. So, Jan, welcome back to Trumpcast.
Glad to be back.
So, don't keep us in suspense. How have your views changed and why?
Well, Jacob, it's 100% because of the Trumpcast. I guess after the nomination, I expected to see a more professional Trump. A lot of the antics and the sideshow would kind of stop or at least slow down, and it seems to have accelerated. I don't know. It's been disappointing and eye-opening a little bit.
So partly you thought Trump was going to, after he got the nomination, was going to grow into the role a little bit. I mean, I think a lot of people were expecting that, right? I mean, he was going to have to start taking seriously the possibility of being president and focus on his policies and so on. And you felt like that didn't happen.
That's right. And I appreciate a level of vagueness from him as he's not acclimated to political life. But I figured he would dig in to a certain amount of issues, at least the ones that he was most passionate about, digging in and kind of develop a little bit more of a specific plan. And it seems that he elected not to do that. And his rhetoric really hadn't changed since he came down the escalator.
Was there a straw that broke the camel's back for you when you said, look, I just cannot vote for this guy?
Yeah, I think it was the video that came out. I don't know, was it TMZ or NBC? I don't know what it was, but
yeah, the Billy Bush video. Yeah,
that's the one. And it's not as much the verbiage that he used. It's not that I think that's a good thing to say by any means or think that way, but the fact that he said something awful didn't so much turn me off as the fact that it seemed like he was just trying to act cool to this guy. And we've all been in situations where somebody said something ridiculous to try and act cool or to try and seem cool or get a laugh, but that's kind of a high school or college thing. And, you know, if you're a 55, 60-year-old businessman, I don't know how old he was at the time, but if you're of that caliber of businessman, I mean, a billionaire, I guess, I don't think you have to seem cool. I think just the fact that you're a billionaire makes you cool. And to try and just do ridiculous junior high 17-year-old antics is just, that just says something about somebody's personality and level of confidence to me that just really turned me off.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to vote for Hillary? Are you going to not vote? What's your plan?
There's a 0% chance I'm going to vote for Hillary. I don't know what to do. I've got a friend that's a big Gary Johnson supporter, and he's really been trying to get me to go that way. But I don't know. I haven't jumped on that train yet either. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I mean, the libertarian view, do you feel attracted to that view at all? The idea that, government should do a lot less than it's doing, but also we should have lower taxes and fewer laws around restricting drugs and restricting prostitution, things like that. I mean, are you drawn to the libertarian viewpoint?
There's a lot of it that I am drawn to, and there's some of it that I'm not drawn to. It kind of does exactly what they, I think, try to do. It kind of splits the social and the governmental issues completely different with the way the Democratic Party and the Republican Party do. It's more of a diagonal line, I guess. And there's part of it I can get on board with and part I can't.
What's the part you do like and what's the part you don't?
Well, I like the legalization of some drugs, and I like the limiting of government as far as regulations go. I like that. I don't like the open borders policy. I really don't like that at all.
Yeah, that does go with it. They're certainly very pro-immigration, pro-free trade, pro-trade agreements. I mean, presumably they'd like free trade with everywhere in the world.
Yeah, there's some parts of that I don't like. I think that's got to be regulated.
Now, I remember when we talked in May, a big motivating factor for you was the bank bailout after the financial crisis. And you said, and I thought you explained this really well, but, you know, these banks got a bailout, but the kind of business you were involved in Chattanooga had gotten into debt, and there was no help from government coming to you. Is that issue still kind of driving your feelings about the election, and has that changed at all?
Well, it definitely still makes me feel like that middle-class America doesn't have the voice in government that we should. I don't know how it's going to affect my vote in this election, but yeah, I still have a little resentment for that.
Jen, are most of your friends, were they Trump supporters? Are they still Trump supporters? I mean, would you say you're the change of heart you'd had is indicative of other people you know?
Well, the funny thing about this election is that a lot of people are keeping their opinion more quiet than usual. I mean, the people that are going to vote for Trump aren't advertising it. I think I see very few yard signs out. I feel like that people are going to end up voting more for the R or the D than anything. And being in Tennessee, there's definitely more people that lean Republican. So I would say there's more people that will vote for Trump. But again, it's not the same conversation that we had 4 years ago with Romney and Obama. I mean, people were a lot more outspoken about it.
So partly people who you think probably are going to vote for him are embarrassed about it. They're not. They don't want to advertise that fact. They don't necessarily want people to know they're voting for Trump, even if they do.
That's right.
What about, so are you, you're likely, we hear a lot now about this phenomenon of ticket splitting. The idea of ticket splitting is you would vote for the Republicans down the ballot for your congressman. I don't know who your congressman is. Maybe you do. But then you would vote for Gary Johnson or not vote, but you wouldn't vote the straight line. You would vote Republican down the ballot, but something else at the top.
Yeah. And a lot of people that I've talked to still have a distrust for the establishment. Or the people, Chuck Fleischman's our congressman, and he, you know, he's a Republican, and a lot of people don't want to vote for him just because he's the established guy. And it's kind of a tough situation, because if you choose not to vote for Fleischman and his vote total, he's still going to get elected, but if his vote total drops down, he's going to blame it on Trump, and he's not going to get the message. And if you do vote for him, then you're not doing what you want to by sticking it to the establishment, I guess. So we really don't know what to do.
Yeah. What did you think about the debates?
Yeah, well, I've watched all three debates, and I really felt like the third debate was the best organized debate. I mean, as far as the moderator asking real legitimate questions and the candidates, for the most part, giving real legitimate answers. And if I didn't already have such a terrible opinion of Hillary, she did well, I felt like, and she seemed moderate, and she answered her questions in a way that's not so disagreeable, but I don't know. I just can't go that way. I can't vote for her. And I voted for Democrats before.
Let's go into that a little bit. You said there was a 0% chance you voted for her, but you just said she did pretty well in the debate and you thought she seemed reasonable and moderate. Why is it that you feel like you could never vote for her?
Oh, well, I mean, I know that everything she said was staged and calculated and analyzed to seem exactly like it seemed to me. So it's not at all genuine. It's just, and if I didn't have such a trust that it was disingenuous, then I think she could have persuaded me, but it's, I just don't trust her.
But you said you voted for Democrats, so it's clearly not just ideology. Like, you would vote for someone who has her views, but you think her views, you think she's not sincere. You think she's calculated. You think she's fake.
Yeah, I voted for Barack Obama in 2008, and I enjoyed watching him campaign. I didn't agree with everything he said, but I felt like he genuinely wanted to do things that would help the average American. And so I chose to vote for him. And I didn't vote for him in 12. I don't think Hillary at all is like that. I think she's entirely a self-serving person.
Hillary is the first woman we've had run for president. Do you think it's possible, I mean, just trying to step outside yourself for a minute, that you react differently to her because she is a woman than you would hearing the same things from a male politician?
I don't. We haven't had a whole lot of female politicians get as far along as her. So I'd like to be able to give you an example of someone I really did support. I liked a little bit about what Fiorina had to say, but she didn't stick around long enough to matter. But no, I don't think so. I think that, like I said, I mean, I give credit where it's due. Hillary did real well in the debate. And if I didn't already have such a strong distaste for her, she could have persuaded me. But I'd still vote for Trump before I'd vote for her.
And what if Bernie had gotten the nomination? I mean, do you think you'd be supporting him right now, or would you still be looking at third-party candidates?
I would strongly consider voting for Bernie.
Why is that? I mean, he's pretty, you know, you were a small businessman. I mean, he's a socialist. You know, it seems like, yeah, his, based on what I know about your views, they'd be pretty far from his.
There are certain things about him that are pretty far from us, but I did like the way he talked about trade. Honestly, I just think he's a better person than Trump or Hillary.
So where we're headed, it certainly looks like we're going to have another Clinton presidency. What do you think that's going to mean in your world? Are you alarmed about that? Do you think it's going to be okay, no change? What do you think?
I think the economy will continue to rise stagnantly or slowly, and I think that it'll last 4 years, and hopefully nothing terrible happens during that time period. I don't expect to see any major change one way or the other.
All right, Jan. Well, you know, if this show has accomplished nothing else, it may have helped to reduce Trump's vote total by one in Tennessee.
Well, it's entertained a lot of people, and you have done some wonderful reporting. I've enjoyed a lot of your shows.
Well, I'm glad you've been listening. It's been great talking to you again.
Okay. Thank you.
That's it for today's show. Trumpcast was produced by Jason DeLeon, who's changed his mind about Tim Kaine. Don't ask him how, it's too boring. Steve Lickteig is the executive producer of Slate Podcast. He changed his mind about Lay's Southern Biscuits and Gravy potato chips. Now he likes them, but he wonders why they aren't making a 40% less fat version. Andy Bowers changed his mind about his title. It's now Chief Content Officer of the Western Hemisphere. John DiDomenico is our voice of Donald Trump. And he's now also the official voice of Trump on the Chelsea Handler Show, which, unlike this show, is poised to continue into 2017. I'm Jacob Weisberg. Thanks for listening to Trumpcast.
I'm very, very excited to announce that the Trump Hotels are being rebranded with the new name Scion. Scion means family of nobility and has nothing to do with those crappy Toyotas that look like shoeboxes with wheels. Believe me, nothing to do with that. Scion is going to be a fantastic hotel chain. I used to say, if it's not a Trump hotel, it's a dump hotel. If it's not a Scion hotel, it's, well, you get the idea. It's fantastic.